Canucks Central Thursday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Kintech Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. This hour of Canucks Central brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Tonight, another game day. Canucks and Anaheim Ducks from SoCal.
Yeah, and Canucks won a big game last night, and anytime coming off a win, it gives you a bit more enthusiasm heading into the next game.
It was a good win. It was a very needed win.
It was results, yes. Right? It was all about getting a result.
That third period was like, oh boy.
It was a hang on to your butts.
Yeah, hold on to your butts, folks. Yeah. You could just see it coming, and it was just like, man, I don't know if they're going to be able to stop this snowball right now, and they weren't, but at least they still came away with the 2 points. So that, you know, at the end of the day, like the great Vin Diesel once said, or Dom Toretto.
Dom Toretto. Well, yes, technically Vin Diesel.
Winning's winning. Yeah. Doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning is winning.
Yes, winning. Hey, especially when we're talking about coming off two straight losses and teams making up ground on them in the playoff race, like Utah and Calgary now trying to separate itself. You really needed the 2 points more than anything. But it made it for an interesting postgame show because, you know, I kept reiterating, it's important. You got the win. That's results matter right now and all that. But when you start breaking the game down, there wasn't a lot of positives to break down, right? Like
What are you talking about, Zach? Your two favorite players were the leaders of the offense.
Honestly, it's the most fun part about it was like Garland, you know, sticking it to me last night. I'm like, Garland can't snipe on the power play. No one respects his
shot.
He's always
flipping pucks at the net, can't pick a corner. And then what does he do in overtime, Sat?
Picks a corner.
Yeah.
And on the power play. I mentioned he's not a threat. He scores on the power play.
Yes.
And great. Like, on it, that was fun. And we joked
around
about it.
Takes a hit to make the play on the power play. Love to see it.
Huge game from him, right? And, you know, he stuck it to me in particular with how I was criticizing and questioning Garland's effectiveness recently. And great game for him, right? That was fun. That was really fun.
9 points in his last 30 games. I think Sat said that stat like 17 times over the last 3 days.
And now it's like, well, now it's 11 and 32. But you know what? Those two are pretty big goals. You know what I mean? But
context.
So we had some fun with that. And a lot of credit to Connor Garland, right? We talked about Filip Hudl as well. And Hoglander scoring goal, and Quinn Hughes returning.
Yes.
And then that was kind of it. Like, they didn't generate anything. That became a storyline because they had, like, no chances in the second and third period, right? So when you're breaking the game down for 2 hours, there was a lot of, well, they did this poorly, did that poorly, this guy was ineffective, but it was good that they won the hockey game. And that's just the reality of the game that we watched last night. But you have to give them credit, though. It was not an easy environment, and they went out and they won. So you needed 2 points, and they got it last night.
I'm going to have a very honest moment with you right now. When I went to Sportsnet Plus to rewatch the game this morning, it wasn't on demand.
It wasn't?
And I was just like, you know what? That's okay. Maybe this is one I don't have to rewatch.
Yeah. I generally like to rewatch on TV, so I'll record it on, you know, Shaw, and then I'll watch it and kind of skip forward, go back and all that.
It's now Rogers Xfinity, by the way.
Right, sorry. Yes. Rogers Xfinity. Mm. Apologies.
Yeah.
Rogers Xfinity.
Got to keep boosting that stock, man.
Yes, certainly.
Well, there's no insider trading going on around here. We just work for Rogers, okay?
What am I trading?
All right. It's the Open on Canucks Central.
Welcome to the Open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It is Canucks Central, and the Open is where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the latest is Quinn Hughes saves his team yet again. Another Hart Trophy-esque performance from the captain last night. Returns to the lineup, begs the coach with minutes remaining before puck drop. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to go. Convince the medicals. Put me in, coach. And they get Quinn Hughes in the lineup, and he's a big factor in the win. He helps them carry play, as he always does. Ends up with an assist in the game as well. So, you know, Quinn Hughes saving the Canucks, does what he does, and returns to remind us that this is the reason you've got a chance at the playoffs this year, this one player.
Yeah, he's the guy. He is the truth, so to speak, right? Yes. And he was at what?
Move over, Paul Pierce.
He's at what, maybe 80% of his capability?
Yeah, he looked rusty, but like relative to what peak Quinn Hughes has looked like all year long. So it's like, man, Quinn Hughes isn't like at the apex of his abilities, yeah, but like he's still the best player on the ice.
Yeah, he's still incredible, right? Like, so he wasn't quite, like, the way I phrased it was, he wasn't at the Hart Trophy level. He was merely at an all-star level.
Oh, wow.
You know, and yeah. Hey, guess what? You add an all-star to the roster, it's still pretty good, right? And you know how much better he will get as he gets healthier and as he finds his game. And it was interesting hearing from him, and he mentioned that, you know, it's not easy playing through it, but yeah, he's hoping to get better and get stronger. But clearly, whatever the issue is, it's believed to perhaps be an oblique injury or whatever. Those sometimes take upwards of 6 weeks or longer to get better, right? So he might be at the phase where he can play through it a little bit, but it might still be pretty painful to some extent.
Yeah, loses maybe a little bit of your explosiveness, right? Yeah. It's one of those things that's not always the easiest to handle, and why he's been out as long as he has. But Quinn Hughes comes back, Canucks get back in the win column. Not necessarily a big surprise there. It was a very needed win for the team. But I think what's the biggest, and I guess my biggest takeaway from where this team is at right now, is how obvious it is that Philip Hedel is the most dynamic forward on this team, to the point that, okay, I know there was a penalty in overtime. I know. You don't have to remind me. It was a penalty in overtime. I get it. So deployment was not what a normal overtime would look like at 3-on-3. But Hedel started overtime, and then when the penalty was over and the Canucks killed that 4-on-3, Hedel was the first forward back over and onto the ice and aiding the Canucks in getting the game-winning goal. So when you think about that and you contrast it to Elias Pettersson, who did not have a single shift in overtime, it's like, yeah, Rick Tocchet knows who his most dynamic forward is right now. It's not number 40, it's number 72. And I don't think there's anybody that really disagrees with that. So it's not the biggest talking point today that Elias Pettersson didn't have a shift in overtime.
Yeah, and I think when you look at what Philip Hedel did in the game, the two goals that were scored, he was directly involved in both of those goals.
Yeah.
And he was a Canucks' most dangerous player last night. We had talked about how Garland had struggled. Joshua, I thought, quietly has had a few good games in a row, and last night I thought it was very effective as well. But
Philip, I kind of thought that Garland and Joshua, they actually worked well off of Hedel's speed.
Yes, they did. And I think Hedel was really the guy that initiated most of the offense last night. He was the guy, and those guys did a really good job of playing alongside of him, right? But Hedel was in the middle of it. And any dangerous moment the Canucks had last night, he was involved in like 90% of them.
Yeah.
Canucks didn't have a lot of chances. They had, like, honestly,
90% of like a handful is not,
no, that's
not,
saying.
A, not a huge number, but like, yes.
That's what I'm like. I think it was maybe 80% actually, because I think the Canucks had like five decent chances, and four of them Hedel was involved in.
Yeah. So pretty much most of them.
So most of them. So I'm not surprised that the coach went to him, but it's also, an indictment on Pettersson still, because if the coach really wanted him out there, because he didn't start overtime and a penalty happened, he would have gotten him out there, right? So it tells you, to your point, right now the Canucks' most dangerous player is Philip Hedel, and he only has 5 points in seven games. But for a team that has barely scored, 5 points in seven games is actually pretty good production right now. Like, I think he leads the forwards in scoring these past seven games with those 5 points.
Probably. I'd have to look that up. But, you know, it's for a team that's barely scoring, you know, 5 points in seven games kind of illustrates that he is one of the guys that's driving the offense. We're talking about the lowest scoring offense in the league over the last little while. They've had, they've scored more than three goals once in their last 19 games. This offense is, for lack of a better term, rancid.
And we know, like, you know, Brock didn't get out there either. People are mentioning that too, but there's a reason he didn't get out, because he's not the fastest guy. And over time, you prioritize speed. And Pettersson's speed, we know, hasn't quite been there either, right?
No, it's obvious. Like, Hedel and O'Connor, you're our two fastest players. You're the guys that are starting overtime now.
No doubt. I don't want to make this a Pettersson conversation, because I want to talk about Hedel more. Pettersson still played more than Hedel did. Hedel played 16 and chain. Pettersson played over 19 minutes last night.
I think it's interesting the deployment about all of this. It's like Rick Tocchet is being very honest with himself and what he has on his bench and available to him right now. And Hedl is their most dynamic forward. He knows he's going to try to get him into the offensive situations. And Pettersson, look, I'm not trying to say, we all know Pettersson has to be better. And I don't want this conversation to be about that. But as it is, Rick Tocchet still went to him a lot last night,
yeah.
played him for over 19 minutes, even though he didn't have a shift in overtime. And, you know, it's just one of those things. Like, Pettersson's that guy right now that when he's on the ice, not a lot happens at either end of the rink. I know he was on the ice for one of the goals scored against, but most nights, not a lot happens when Pettersson is on the ice. And you can look at his numbers over the totality of the season, 28 goals for when he's on the ice for the Canucks, 27 against. So Rick Tocchet still knows that Pettersson, he can rely on him to play solid defensive hockey and do those kinds of things, but he knows also right now that his most dynamic offensive forward is Filip Hedl.
Yeah.
And that's the way that he's choosing to deploy his roster. And actually, Pew Suter ended up with the most ice time, but part of that is because of how much he penalty kills for this team as well. So you look at that, and I look at that, and it's like, Hedl's the guy right now. And the only qualm I have with his game is, can there be a little bit more finish here? Mm. And his career shooting percentage is around 10%. Right now it's under 5 with the Vancouver Canucks in this short 7-game sample. So there's probably better days ahead. He's going to convert a little bit more if he continues gaining this many chances. But, you know, the early returns are pretty positive on Filip Hedl.
There's a lot to like about him. And you're right, the finishing is a question. At the same time, he's only played 7 games.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's
still very early.
It's very difficult to make any real assertions on what he is or isn't based on a 7-game sample with the Canucks. And honestly, even the rest of the season would be perhaps an interesting. It can tell you, it can frame what we can expect next year to some extent.
Yeah.
But he needs to play a full year in a big role and produce.
Yeah.
That's what's going to make him into an impact player. Can he be that type of guy? But the traits are there. We've seen the traits through these 7 games, his speed, the size he plays with. And there is a reckless abandon to how he plays. Mm. I do think that's been reined in a little bit the last couple games.
Yeah.
Maybe he had so much adrenaline the first few games he didn't care anyways and just was just like flying out there.
I mean, it's another thing that's in stark contrast to his teammates who have played with hesitation and you know, a lack of confidence most of this year.
He has none.
Yeah.
You know, like, he has no hesitation in his game. And it's really, you're right, a breath of fresh air watching it, right? And watching a player have that much enthusiasm and be as effective in the way he plays. But I do feel like he's going to be a top 6 player.
Yeah.
Is he more likely to be a second line contributor on a good team? That's going to be the question. But the thing is, I feel pretty good about him being a top 6 guy.
Yeah.
At the very worst, being on the second line. And at the very worst, being a winger on the second line. Whether he's a long-term center or not, I guess that will remain to be seen, and especially with how effective he can be playing two-way hockey and how much he can produce. But he's a guy that you can play on the wing, and he can be very effective for you. So I think the Canucks, with him being signed for 2 more years, they found a nice piece. The question is, how high is the ceiling?
That's the hard part to figure out right now. I mean, I still think, you know, if Filip Hedl becomes a 70-point player, you are over the moon with that development. He's obviously showed it in smaller samples. With less ice time, he's been able to put up a good amount of points in New York at different points of his career, earlier points of his career. But I think I'm still trying to figure out, is Filip Hedl a player with a pretty high ceiling, or am I looking at a player that's like, he's kind of like, this is going to be a bad analogy to make. Like, is he an 8 because he's surrounded by 6s, or is he?
Okay, I see what you're saying. I see what you're going with here.
I was maybe looking for a better way to phrase that.
Yeah. But. Now the thing is, the best thing you did was keep it just at that.
Yeah.
You know, like, you didn't specify anything. I think that's the best thing that you did. Because now it's just whatever, right?
Everybody knows what I mean.
Yeah. I do think. I think I made the joke, was it on Monday? There is a level of low bar-itis in Vancouver, right? Where, like, because of how little offense we've seen, and we've seen the team be really rigid with how they've played, and they haven't been expansive at all, that somebody else comes in and does, you're like, wow. Yeah. You know, like, so you're wowed by it in many ways. And I do think it's fair. Like, even we were joking about Mancini. It's like, well, yeah, he skates well and he moves the puck well. It's like, hey, you know, he can do a few different things. And yeah. It's like, well, you got to put it together. But there are traits that are positive. I do get what you're saying, but I think it's more about opportunity.
Yeah.
Filip Hedl was probably not getting the same opportunity on another team that's in the same situation because the Canucks traded their top center for him.
Yeah.
And he's getting that type of opportunity. Where else was he going to get that type of opportunity? So I do think it's allowed him to also fully display who he is and what he is in a far bigger role.
Never played in the seasons where he's played a ton of games. He's never been over 15 minutes per night so far with the Canucks, near 18 and a half. Like, there's some real traits. I mean, we've talked about it a bunch, but his speed is really impressive. And he is, like, not only is he, and he looks even bigger in real life on the ice, but he's a large player.
Yeah.
And the Canucks don't have a ton of, like, also, like, tall, long, but he's also kind of wide, too. So he's, there's just a lot about his game and his traits that I think the Canucks sorely needed. And that's what we're seeing. We'll end up finding out where the ceiling eventually is for Filip Hedl as the Canucks go into Anaheim tonight. It's the Canucks Central Roundup. A couple of things that we want to get to here before we catch up with Brandon Astle on the Abbotsford Canucks and how Jonathan Lekkerimäki is lighting the lamp down at the AHL level. Canucks and Ducks. Right now, the Ducks are in an interesting spot as they've gotten a little bit hot lately. Mm-hmm. They play good defense and are trying to be a team that plays meaningful games in March, which is a term we knew far too well through the years here in Vancouver. But they are on 57 points after the Canucks win last night. That's 8 back of Vancouver with a game in hand. So as far as games go tonight, like, this is a massive one for a young Ducks team that's been really plucky of late.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot to like about their young players and the enthusiasm they played with. And there was some question about how it was working under their head coach, because apparently it wasn't a very happy place to play and what's going on as far as the culture they're trying to build. But that's really turned in a massive way. And they do have some nice speed on their team too. And when you have speed and you have players, you know, committed to playing, at least trying to play the right way,
yeah,
it makes you a hard team to beat. And they've been getting good goaltending too. So it's not a team you can just show up and expect to beat.
They don't score a lot, much like the Vancouver Canucks, but they do have some threats through their lineup. As we know, Frank Vatrano is still their leading goal scorer, as he was a year ago with 17 on the season. It'll be Lukas Dostal against Artur Shilovs tonight. Rick Tocchet hasn't spoken with media yet, but he should in the next little while. So we'll find out if the Canucks are going to change up the lineup. Do they go 11-7, or does Arshdeep Bains or Nils Åman get back in the lineup?
Well, I don't know how useful it is to have two defensemen playing under 12 minutes.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, and especially on a second of a back-to-back, do you want to put your forwards in that position where you're rotating an extra guy up there and playing a lot of minutes, playing guys a lot of minutes if you have to? I think it's better, unless Quinn is questionable.
Yeah.
But if he's questionable, just take the day off again. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, we want to see Quinn Hughes play, obviously.
Very much so.
Almost had a meltdown.
You did have. No, I don't think it was almost that. You had a meltdown on the pregame show yesterday.
About Quinn not playing.
Yes.
I was listening on the train, and I was like, oh, man, Sad is wildly upset right now.
This is not fun. And then he came in and played. It was great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like, you know, we want to see Quinn Hughes play, because this team, outside of Filip Hedl, hasn't been very exciting to watch with the puck, right? But I think you go with 12-6 tonight.
Yeah, assuming Quinn is good to go again, I think you go 12-6. Last night, as Sat mentioned, you had two players under 12 minutes on defense. Elias Pettersson was just over 10 minutes. Carson Soucy played just under 12 minutes for the Canucks in last night's game. And no forward was under 14, or actually, no forward was under 13 minutes last night for the Canucks. So everybody got a little bit more ice time that way. Noah Juulsen News out today from Rick Dhaliwal that Noah Juulsen's done for the year with hernia surgery. So pending unrestricted free agent. Never really met the bar that he got to last year. This year didn't find that rhythm again. But, you know, this is a player that the Canucks kind of took a chance on a while ago and ended up serving pretty well as an organizational depth defenseman through the years.
Honestly, he went from being a guy who was drafted in the first round by the Montreal Canadiens, didn't live up to expectations, got dumped on the Florida Panthers, didn't work out there. It was essentially just a dump, salary dump to Vancouver as the Canucks were trying to trade Olli Juolevi. The Canucks got him and Juho Lamico for Olli Juolevi. And just the Canucks essentially had to take the contract back to some extent. And he just found a way to survive. And he's been able to carve out a 6-7 role for himself in the NHL. I don't think that, you know, he's obviously a player that you can rely on every day on a good team. But he's a guy that can give you depth. And he's a really good penalty killer. He eats a lot of shots, eats a lot of pucks. That's something that teams do value.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be a guy that, whether it's in Vancouver or elsewhere, is probably going to sign close to a league minimum contract, maybe even a two-way contract, and fight for a spot next year. And I wouldn't be surprised if it is back in Vancouver as depth, at least, right? Comes to fights for a 7-8 spot on the team next season.
Parts of four seasons with the Canucks, played 54 games last year, 35 this year as his season comes to an end. But if you were wondering if Noah Juulsen would be a player that teams maybe target ahead of the deadline next week, not going to happen. He is out for the year with a hernia surgery. Elliot Friedman today on the Fan Hockey Show reiterating that the Canucks would like Besser on a 5-year deal, maybe 6. So that's where things currently stand with the Brock Star. Canucks still trying to squeeze Besser into taking lower term. We've talked about this a bunch. He can probably get a 7-year deal in free agency this summer, being a guy who recently scored 40 goals, has a pretty good track record of steady production at the NHL level. Mm-hmm. And I saw the Daily Faceoff today had 4 destinations that could make sense for Brock Besser as a trade target: Colorado, LA, New Jersey, and Vegas. And it got the wheels turning in my head about potential trades. And one name that was mentioned in the New Jersey blurb was Dawson Mercer. So I kind of wonder, like, if you do go down the road of trading Brock Besser, is the just get the best pick and prospect that you can get the type of road that you want to go down? Or could you make one of those kind of hockey deals where Dawson Mercer's fallen out of favor a little bit in New Jersey, hasn't really lived up to his big season from a couple of years ago, and you take a chance on that player? Is that something you could see the Canucks potentially entertaining as a hypothetical?
Yeah, I don't think that would be something the Canucks would be opposed to if there's a player, even if he has a little term and money on the books, but it is a good player, that they would be open to doing so.
Because if New Jersey were to want to extend Besser, maybe they want to move
some money out to
Mercer's money over the next couple of years to help, you know, land that.
Yeah, and we know that Mercer, not to say he's been on the trade block per se, but you know, I've mentioned this in the past, the Devils have listened.
Yeah.
I think the Canucks at least had some cursory interest in the player. I don't know where that's at today, whether they still value him, but he's the type of guy that fits the profile they're looking for, right? Versatile, top six potential player, maybe a middle six guy. That's what he's kind of been, but he can score. He's had a 127 goal season. He's right-handed. He is pretty aggressive with how he plays. He has a little bit of speed to his game. Defensively, there's some questions, but there is potentially some upside here.
Yeah.
And so I think that's, you know, he could be an interesting player if you're looking to make that type of swap.
It kind of makes you wonder, because with so few teams selling and already a bunch of picks traded already, could there be different avenues if you do really go down the road of exploring a Brock Besser trade in the next week and a bit? Trade deadline next Friday. I also wanted to ask about Rickard Rakell. Because I was looking through, and I don't know, Rakell's not really a name that I've thought about a ton as an option for the Vancouver Canucks, but it's clear that there is some interest around him. He's actually having a really good year for the Pittsburgh Penguins is Rickard Rakell. Now, he is 31 years old, so, and will be 32 this coming May. So not exactly a young player, but he's having a great year. He signed for 3 more years at a reasonable number at $5 million, assuming he's able to maintain similar level of scoring that he's shown in Pittsburgh. Is Rickard Rakell a name of interest at all?
I mean, I don't, I mean, is he relatively, I mean, he's 31.
He's going to be 32 in May.
Yeah.
With 3 more years on his deal.
He can score a bit,
yeah.
Right? What are you giving up to do it?
See, that the thing I would wonder is like, Hoglander and something?
Sure, if you look at something along those lines.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure if that's what Pittsburgh would want, but
I mean, I know they've had some interest in Hoglander in the past.
Yeah.
I'm not against shifting money around for it, but you know, player that's 30 going to be 32
with 3 years left on the deal.
The 3 years of $5 million, I can be okay with. I don't think that's too bad for a guy.
I mean, if he's scoring 20 goals a year, you're not too worried.
You're
about
okay
it.
With that? It's more about the cost. I'm not giving up anything significant to trade for a player who's 32.
It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. It is Canuck Central. We'll get to more of the discussions around your Vancouver Canucks week and a day out from the NHL trade deadline. Sportsnet 650 and Waypoint Insurance want to give you the ultimate Vancouver hockey experience on March 15th. Chicago and their young megastar are in Vancouver. You could win a chance to see it live, plus an overnight stay at a luxury hotel in Vancouver. Whether it's a home game or a road trip, Waypoint is always the right call for your home, business, or auto insurance. Top shelf insurance and a top shelf hockey fan experience. Enter now on the contest page at sportsnet.ca/650. The contest closing this coming Sunday, March the 2nd. Brandon Astle will join us next on Canuck Central.
Ask any racer, any real racer. It don't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning's winning.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.